at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive, the number 2, thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will hopefully be back soon. He's on sabbatical right now. Hawk is sitting in for him on Fridays. Hawk is also doing the show on Thursdays. Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays. Nathan Layal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These times are hard for many, and being prepared is becoming more and more important. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. With health in mind, this show's sponsor, EnerHealth Botanicals, has added over 40 liquid herbal combinations for all of your ills. They are high quality and give real results. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network and your own health. With good health, we all fare better in all the roles we play in life. Go to www.survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R, F as in Frank, O-O-D as in dog.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product will extend the life of your stored food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. When you get the nutrients you need, you tend to eat less, and what is more, it has a 2-year shelf life. Also, take a look at their organic cocoa and coffee, as well as their other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners, and these are often changing, so be sure to tune in frequently for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on this show is truly helpful. We want to help you all to stay healthy and informed, so that you can better serve your family and community today and in these ever-changing times. Thank you for listening.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Leal, and today is Tuesday, March 29th, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you with pen and paper that are taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. Well, folks, we're approaching the end of the first quarter of the year 2011. 3 months have almost gone by, and what an amazing ride this year has been so far. Did you ever think, even 1 year ago, that we would be facing the challenges that are upon us today? Perhaps some of you have, and most likely those of you that are awake were expecting a lot of these things because you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're a remnant child of God, and you have your ear to the ground, you're awake, and you're attempting to be vigilant. So most likely many of those of you that are listening have been expecting these things, but for the most part, how many in the general population suspected that we would be faced with the challenges that we are watching daily on the headlines across the world on news reports? As I speak, right now there are critical red alert emergencies happening throughout the world. Right now, my friends, economic uncertainty faces many, many villages across the world. We're facing a new war. We're facing the collapse of nations. We're witnessing the collapse of nations, Egypt, Yemen, Algeria, Libya, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Bahrain. The list goes on and on, my friends. We're facing and we're witnessing Portugal in financial turmoil, fighting for a saving breath to survive. We're witnessing Russia challenging NATO. We're hearing that China is making demands to the NATO alliance. Cease fire immediately in your war in Libya. China is making demands. making threats. Russia's unhappy. Christchurch, New Zealand, trying to rebuild a destroyed city. And then, of course, we have Japan sifting among the dead. Japan attempting to relocate the refugees in a flight to safety against an invisible enemy. That enemy, the radiation cloud that lurks and floats over the land, and it is making threats to the rest of the world right now. Japan is trying to sweep up their mess and rebuild, but they cannot do it because several nuclear reactors are in a crisis in Japan right now. They are in a crisis of meltdown. They are in a crisis of fires. They're exploding. They're burning. They're leaking dangerous residue of man's inventions. How many have been taught and heard in our school growing up that man has harnessed the atom? Man has claimed to split the atom, but at the moment, my friends, man is having a hard time placing a harness around some of the atoms family. At this moment, the atoms family refuses to be bridled. And do you wonder who is going to win this wrestling match, this sparring tournament? Will the brilliant minds of science corral the plutonium beast? Folks, I hope they do. Hopefully they will. But will hopefully happen sooner, or will it occur only after it has etched history with a nightmare? What do you think, folks? We are in an interesting period of time right now. And if you're a regular listener, there's a good chance that you've been trying to mentally process the future of our great challenge. We knew it was coming. Now, of course, we did not have all of the exact details, but if you're a part of the remnant, you knew that something was approaching. And here at Watchman's Cry, I call it judgment, the judgment of God. My friends, the judgment is not pretty. The judgment is not politically correct. The judgment is not a term that is loosely talked about from pulpits across the world. The judgment is hard to behold. The judgment is hard to consider. It's hard to digest. It's hard to accept. The judgment is to be feared. And it is to be respected and acknowledged. And when we acknowledge it, then we can proceed further to find refuge in the eyes of judgment's captain. And that would be the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, Yeshua. And here on this program, we talk about these things. These things are mighty things. And I've said many times that we will all participate. And how true is this? Now that the reports are starting to trickle in that the radiation cloud has covered and blown over most of the United States and parts of Europe, folks, do you know what that means? Do you know what we're facing right here? Think about this. The radiation is invisible. And you know what, my friends? I was not notified when the radiation floated over my house. Were you? Did TEPCO, the Japanese nuclear reactor company, did they give you a phone call and alert you? Did they tell you, please know that the radiation is over you now. Don't breathe. Okay, bye-bye. Have a nice day. I didn't receive that phone call, my friends, or the text message, or the memo. So now, I must process. Huh. They say that it was a minute portion that reached America and that is now reaching Europe. They say that it's unharmful. But was it? It's a good question, huh, folks? And what if it was not unharmful? Then I'm wondering. I find myself asking the question to my wife, to my family, to myself. Have I taken enough iodine supplements to face this thing? Now, I don't have any KI pills, but they only say to take the KI pills when it's going to be a major dose of radiation. So according to what they're telling us, the dosage is very, very small. Therefore, the KI pills would be too much. So am I taking enough iodine supplement is what I'm asking myself. And in addition to that, am I putting that little patch of iodine, painting it on my skin? You've heard us talk about that in the past. Take some iodine, make a little 3x3-inch patch on your forearm or the soles of your feet or your shin so that your body can absorb it. But did I do it in time? Was it enough? And last but not least, have I prayed hard enough for my Psalms 91 bubble? Am I staying close enough to God that He would desire to protect me and my family? Those are many questions I've been asking myself, folks. How many of you find yourself wondering about the same things? My friends, right now, there are a lot of things to consider. And we're no longer living in a normal season. I've said that before. We're in a season of survival right now. Survival, my friends. Survival can only come through wise choices, and it's only going to happen through newly adopted efforts. Survival is only going to happen through lifestyle changes. Survival will only happen for you through spiritual renewal, and survival can only happen if we acquire knowledge of quality intel, the correct intel, the correct information. And all of these measures that I'm mentioning right here require your participation. They require your effort, my friends. Now, I do feel confident that many of you are doing these very things. I know that many of you are vigilant, you're smart, and many of you are achievers, and I am pulling for your success. I'm praying for your success. And it is going to be a hard, bumpy, challenging, and even scary at times ride. It's going to be difficult. But with God's help, with Jesus' help, my friends, I really believe that we can do it. I believe that you can do it. And today I want to share several updates on the continuing saga that's going on out there. Folks, there is so much information about this story blasting the news across the world on the internet. Those of you that are searchers for truth, you know what I'm talking about. There's an overload of information out there. So how does a person filter through all of it? How does a person digest it? How does a person face it and read about it without getting overwhelmed, without having doom overload? You know, folks, I want to encourage those of you that may be feeling that way. Maybe if you're feeling a little overwhelmed or possibly a lot overwhelmed, maybe you're feeling stressed, perhaps you're feeling beat up, my friend, please do not give up. And really, really try to give God a chance to help you. Now, if you have been a regular listener to Watchman's Cry, we've been on this journey for a few years now, and God has been allowing me and helping me with His Holy Spirit to share messages of encouragement, of challenge, of admonishment that allow us to know what's happening, what's coming, and also to get ready for it. And to be able to visit all of these things takes willing to look at the truth. It takes coming out of the normal way of thinking. You know, folks, in our regular natural lives, the natural part of us, the natural part of our mind, the logical part of our mind does not want to include the spiritual. It doesn't want to consider that there could be a spiritual element, a spiritual variable that does influence our lives. It doesn't want to visit that. So as a result, we live in a natural world. Many of us find ourselves living in Babylon, and we're going to get exposed to the thought processes of Babylon. And the thought process of Babylon renounces the spiritual. It does not acknowledge God. It denies God. It is in enmity against God, an enemy of God. It hates God. So if you only live in the natural and only expose yourself to the news of the natural, you're not going to be faced with the possibility that God is involved in our history right now, in the story right now. So when we hear that he is involved, it can become scary, because that means now we have to face ourselves. We have to face our lifestyles. We have to face the choices and the mistakes and the decisions that we have made, or perhaps that we didn't make. And that can be overwhelming for some people, so they would rather just turn it off. They would rather just say that this is fear-mongering. They would rather say, I don't worry, I have faith, I believe in God. But it is easy to say that one believes in God, but at the same time has not dealt with the God element in their life, with the element of repentance and lifestyle adjustment. It's easy to say that, but not do it. So my friend, right now, we are in a period that's very, very hard to bear. There's a lot of hard, challenging information. And I don't want to see you be overwhelmed or even get to the point where you just turn off the information, where you take the blue pill and go back to sleep, where you want to be just a part of the matrix and just enjoy your meal, enjoy waking up and going to sleep but not being alert. That's a very dangerous place to be, my friend, because in the scriptures we're told to watch. It says to watch. Watching means being vigilant. So watching can be painful when we see these scary sights. I'm aware of that, my friends, and I agree with you. It's hard, especially if you're a parent. If you're a mother and a father and you have little ones, little children, it is scary, because then you have to actually entertain the thought that your children, your loved ones, may be threatened by some unhealthy things that are beyond your control. The radiation, poison in the air, poison in the water, poison in the food. It's scary, my friends. But an overcomer has to face these things. And we're told in the book of Revelation over and over, he that overcomes will get this, will be rewarded with this, will be rewarded with that. And then Jesus also told us to endure. He that endures to the end. Endurance does not happen while you're snoozing and snoring away, my friends. So while we are in this envelope of time, my friends, it cannot be processed without God's peace in your life. I cannot stress that enough. You cannot be a prepper. You cannot be a survivalist. You cannot be a person trying to be ready for all of these things and leave God out. Because if you do, you're wasting your time. You're going to be overloaded with fear, with stress, and God will not protect you in his Psalms 91 bubble, because you're not in fellowship with him. My friends, to be protected by God is conditional. It is conditional. It's not automatic. If you want protection for your children, it's conditional. That means you have to put the effort in praying for them, my friends. Praying for them. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40, it says, let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and our hands to the God of heaven, because we have transgressed, we have sinned, we have rebelled, and God, you have not pardoned us. Right there, my friends, Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations was written by Jeremiah during the siege of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem was surrounded by Babylon's armies. Many of the inhabitants of Jerusalem perished in this judgment. They died. And during that episode of time, Jeremiah witnessed it, and he made a diary of what he saw, and that's called the Book of Lamentations. So Lamentations includes a lot of the scenes of judgment, but it also includes the remedy, and that remedy is right here, my friends, in chapter 3. It goes on to say in Lamentations 3, verse 22, make note of this, my friends, and look at it. It says, though the Lord's mercies were not, we are not consumed. I'm sorry, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Does that sound familiar, my friends? Great is thy faithfulness. That hymn, that timeless hymn that many of us are familiar with, this is where it comes from. They are new every morning. His compassions will not fail you, my friends. So that means if you're in a place in your life where you may think that you're at your wit's end, you may feel like you're being overburdened, perhaps you even feel under condemnation. You feel that, why would God forgive you and why would God give you another chance? The reason that God does it isn't because of you, my friend, or because of me. It's because of him. And this is what it is. His compassion is always available, and it's new every morning. That means it's available for you today, for tomorrow, and the next day, and so on. God does forgive, my friends. And while I am sharing this message of judgment, which is very, very scary, I also want to offer the ointment and the good news and the hope that God is there to restore us while we're going through this, my friends. So I challenge you. This is your homework, my friends. No matter where you are, if you're listening to this, make a note that you need to have a talk with God. Whether it's later on tonight, whether it's when you get in your car and you have to leave the house for a little bit, or you have to go be alone, you have to go for a jog, a walk, or go in your bedroom and shut the door. My friends, we all need to be talking to God right now, because we are at the very beginning of a new chapter. A new chapter that is still unknown. But the way it looks, this chapter is going to be very vexing and challenging for many people. And we cannot go through this chapter with our own strength, my friends. We can't do it. So let's get back to the news that's happening right now. There is so much news happening throughout the world. Japan, Libya, and Europe, the dollar, silver, gold, swine flu, disease, Gulf spill, dead animals. The news does not stop. And then we have the earth changes that are continuing to happen. Japan has had over 700, approaching 800 earthquakes in the last month. It leads me to wonder, are they finished with having another very damaging large earthquake? Is another tsunami in store for Japan? Folks, right now, great earth changes are occurring. The Pacific Rim is quaking and shaking. The Ring of Fire is unsettled. And that Ring of Fire encircles many continents. It buffers many continents. It's from Asia, goes up to Alaska, through Canada, comes down through California, down Baja. My friends, at the rate things are going, since we are in that season of judgment, the big one for America could just be right around the corner. There could be a huge, huge earthquake coming to California in the next few days, the next few weeks. Or it could be at the new Madrid Fault or the other fault that goes under New York. We don't know, but this is what I do know, my friends. It's judgment time. It's judgment season. God has announced it. The watchmen have been proclaiming it, declaring it, warning against it. So it's up to us to be ready for it, to be ready spiritually and also in practical means. Now, regarding Japan, folks, have you noticed that the story continues to change so, so quickly? And have you also noticed with all the barrage of information coming out of Japan, we really don't know the truth of how bad it is. They're allowing it to leak out in little tiny nuggets, tidbits. Perhaps when they can no longer hide it, that's when they're releasing how bad it really is. And that's one thing that I have noticed as I'm trying to glean from all of the news and information about Japan. There's so much, but in addition to the news being bad, the humanitarian efforts, the humanitarian crisis, the refugees trying to get away from the tsunami-torn area and the radiation exposure, I still am looking at the news through the lens of an American from over here on the West Coast trying to find out how threatening the radiation is going to be. I want to know, folks, because after all, I live here, I have children, and I want to know what to do. Most likely that's you also. But the hard part is our regular mainstream media seems to have grown bored with the Japanese story because now Libya has taken over. The riots in London have taken over. There's so much news, but the Japanese situation doesn't seem to really raise their alert levels for some reason. The few stories that I have seen come from our mainstream media, and when I say that, I mean MSN, Fox, MSNBC, they downplay the radiation threat. They say it's no big deal, it's minute, it's harmless, don't worry about it. So am I supposed to listen to them after they prove themselves to be separated from how serious the Gulf spill was? Folks, we witnessed that just in the last few months, the last few years. We've seen a lot of bad things come through where they don't really tell us everything. And the Gulf spill was a prime example. To this day, there are stories coming out that it's still leaking. And then there's a lot of confusing stories of where the leak actually is. Is it a volcano? Is the ground open up? Is it cracked? Is it fractured? But we're not being told. And we're also not being told the amount of poison that is harming the residents of the Gulf Coast, of the United States. We're not being told about the people dying in the Gulf Coast, those that are finding themselves with those terrible, terrible sores. They're not being forthright with us, my friends. And now here we are with the Japanese situation. And again, they're following the same pattern. So are we supposed to just listen to them and dismiss everything? They said it's harmless, so let's not worry. Well, if we backtrack to March 11th, when the first problem started and then the first explosion happened within the next few days, there was a massive release of radiation even back then. And we were told back then, it's no big deal. Don't panic. They told the Japanese people not to panic. And now, looking back, apparently there was a reason to panic and be paranoid because there's radiation all over the area of that reactor plant. So how do we put the pieces together? How do we know how bad radiation is? Have you noticed there's 20 to 30 different terminologies for radiation? Curies, sieverts, rads, rems. It goes on and on. Millis, micro, microcuries, millicuries, millisieverts, micro. What do they all mean? It's confusing, right, folks? So if you find yourself confused with that, you're not the only one. So the reason I'm saying that is because I am grabbing all, as much information as I can about these things that I'm mentioning right now, and I am going to be making a YouTube video. I'm working on it right now. My son and I are working on it, where we're going to share what the amounts of radiation actually mean, and then we're going to compare them to how dangerous they are to a human body so that you can see the numbers, and when you hear them in the news report, you can compare them to the table and the illustrations that we have. So that's going to be coming out. Please say a prayer for me. This is an ongoing project that I'm working on day and night, so say a prayer for me to get this out as soon as possible so that you can see and you're able to visualize what you're looking at. My son's actually building a 3D model of the entire nuclear reactor plant. He does 3D graphics. So say a prayer for us. Also, I want to say this. When it is finished, I am going to send it out to my email list. Those of you that are subscribed to the Watchman Scribe messages, I'm going to send it to those that have subscribed. So if you want to get this YouTube when it comes out and you want to be notified, go to watchmanscry.com and subscribe to notifications. And when this thing comes out, I will send you a link and you can watch it. All right? Now, how bad is it going to be, my friends? I hear a lot about the different amounts of radiation, the poisons, the dosages, and it's hard to put the pieces together because when they say it's harmless, when they say, well, this blast went over Nevada or the United States, Massachusetts in the United States, or it went over Texas or Colorado, but it was harmless. The thing about radiation is that radiation accumulates in our body. It's a cumulative poison, meaning, yes, one dose could be not so bad, but when you have two of those not so bad dosages, then you have two not so bad that are a little bit less not so bad. And it goes on and on. So as they increase, the poison increases and the damage increases. But I hear the music right now. We're at the half of the hour. So after the break, we're going to finish talking about this, and I am going to share some news reports about how bad it really is in Japan. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
All right, now we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, Interfood.com. And give us your brief take on Interfood.
I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah, it's really that good.
And she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, March 29th, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about this huge, enormous, gargantuan challenge that we are all facing with the threat of radiation. Folks, I know that by now some of you may feel overloaded with this news, and some of you might be thinking, okay, I've heard enough. I don't want to deal with it. It's too much. Just let's return to a normal life. I just want to turn on the TV and veg out. Folks, that is a normal response, and I understand feeling that way. However, during times like this, during times of crisis, we cannot afford to turn off our vigilance. That radiation is making it to the United States. It has been measured in California, in Washington, Ohio, North Carolina, South Carolina, Massachusetts, Nevada, Colorado, Alabama, Texas. I could go on and on, my friends. It is being measured. Now, I know that they're saying it's minute, it's harmless, it's even less than the background radiation that we would get from a rock. But we're not being told the whole truth of the information on this story, my friends, because the radiation that is arriving is not only the harmless iodine-131 radiation, where all we need to do is take a supplement of iodine and we'll be okay. There are also other types of radiation arriving. The cesium-137, that one has a half-life of 30 years. It doesn't go away after 8 days like the 131 iodine radiation does. So the accumulation effect from these different radiations are going to have they're going to have a result in the environment. They're going to affect the environment. So being asleep does not make that go away, my friends. We have to know about these things. And the thing that we need to really be aware of, again, my friends, please remember this. When they say it was harmless, perhaps that one cloud that went over your house on that day was a portion that by itself would not harm you. But if it accumulated and that and another cloud came over a day later and then another one a day later, then it starts adding up. And that's the key thing to remember. The radiation accumulates. So the key question about the dosage of accumulating radiation is, can your body stay ahead of the challenge to keep that small, minute portion of radiation flushed out of your body? That's the question, my friends. Now, in a normal environment, this is what usually happens. On this planet, there's a normal amount of background radiation. But our bodies are only encountering very small portions over the course of a year, and they flush it out if they're on a healthy diet. Another key point, my friends. On average, here in the United States, the average citizen encounters approximately 1 to 2 sieverts of radiation. So that would be 1,000 to 2,000 millisieverts of radiation. It's the same thing. Over the course of a year. But the portions are so minute that our body flushes them out and stays ahead of them, and we don't have the damage. But the next question now is, we had background radiation of 1 to 2 sieverts that we have just from living, but now we have this radiation cloud bringing a little bit more. So now the background is going to be accumulating with what comes over in the clouds. So that changes the equation. That's the reason we have to be aware, my friends. That's the reason you have to have supplements and try to strengthen your body and do what you need to do to be aware. And by being asleep, ignoring it and taking the blue pill does not boost your immune system. Now, regarding the KI pills, when are we supposed to take those? According to many of the reports out there, unless the dosage is going to be very, very, very high, we're not supposed to be taking them too early, my friends, because it will actually make you sick. So please also be aware of that. Do not be taking KI pills every day. You'll start throwing up, and it's not good for children. They can get too much. So do some research on that if you do have the KI pills. The better thing to do before a big blast comes is to strengthen your body with naturally occurring iodine that you can find in supplements. So I had Darren and Steve St. Clair on a few weeks ago. I believe it was on the 15th. Not sure. I believe it might have been, where we talked about different nutrients you can take. My friends, do the research, but we need to be facing these things. We need to be encountering these things and actually thinking differently. You need to be telling your kids daily, okay, kids, come here. Here's your kelp supplement. Here's your iodine. You need to be painting that patch on their legs. But folks, right now, am I sounding paranoid? No, I'm trying to sound wise and vigilant. Now, regarding masks, I've noticed that there are photographs of people in Japan wearing the masks, and of course, that's because the radiation particles are in the air and they're wearing the mask. But there's something that I noticed when I've looked at some of the photographs of the citizens of Japan wearing their masks. And I want to bring this up in case we ever get to the point where we have to wear a mask. I saw this same thing in Mexico during the swine flu threat, which was a few years ago. Now, the mask, of course, is not a respirator. It's a poor man's attempt to minimize the intake of foreign particles or biohazards. And this means that the mask is to keep it out of our lungs. But why do people only put it over their mouth and not their nose? I have seen this in photographs in Japan and in Mexico. Folks, a mask is to cover both our mouth and our nose. So if you only put it over your mouth and you don't cover your nose, then you're going to breathe in stuff through your nose. It sounds so silly that I actually have to bring this up, but if there's anyone out there that might be challenged with or encountered with the actual threat that you have to put on a mask, my friend, put it over your nose and your mouth. All right? Now, that's a free side note that I'm surprised I have to even bring up, but I guess in this day and age, you never know. Okay, now, on Sunday, I was watching the Japanese video imported from Japan, their TV news, and they showed a video of a helicopter flying over the reactor site, and it flew over each reactor, and it made a summary of each reactor's condition, and then they examined it with an expert and pointed out the flaws or the problems or the damage, etc. So when it flew over reactor one, reactor one was one of the buildings that had an explosion and the walls looked like trusses. Well, the roof in reactor one has now caved in even further now. Before it looked like it was stable and it was flat. And when I say roof, I mean the second floor's outer roof blew off of the entire building, and then there was another roof that covered the containment area where the reactor is. That roof has started caving in. So that has happened since March 11th. Reactor number two, part of the wall seemed to be melting and crumbling in, and they are still emitting smoke out of reactor two. Reactor three has probably the most damage visually, and their smoke is escaping from the top and from several portions of the reactor three. And it also looks like when the reactor's working perfectly and actually in business, when the fuel rods are spent and it's time to change them out, there's a crane that rolls right over the containment of the reactor, the containment dome, and then the reactor's under it, and the lid comes off and the fuel rods are taken out, and then the crane slides on rollers and it lowers the fuel cells into water where it's supposed to cool down. Well, that crane that moved back and forth looks like it has collapsed, and it has collapsed over one of the pools where the fuel rods are supposed to be cooled off, but the crane has collapsed into it, so now the pool is probably cracked and the water is probably leaking out, so that doesn't look good. How can they get to it? And the fuel rods even look damaged in reactor three. Reactor four, I saw that one. I couldn't believe it, folks. Reactor four had the roof of where the reactor is actually was collapsed, and you could see the reactor itself, and the reactor has, it looks like a pill, if you can picture a pill, and it's yellow looking, and there's a lid on the top that comes off. Well, the lid of the reactor was cracked and broken, and there was holes in it, so it's exposed to the world. So reactor four has massive damage to the reactor, and then on top of that, the turbine buildings that turn the turbines through the pipes where the steam comes from the reactor, very superheated, and then turns the turbine blades in a secondary building. Well, radiation has leaked into the turbine building. These buildings are huge. They're long. They're hundreds of feet long. If you see a picture of them, these turbines are massive. They're 20 to 30 feet across. And there's water in the basement that initially was told to the world that it was 10 million times above normal, and then it was changed to say only 100,000 times above normal. But nevertheless, that was a massive dose that those workers received, because in 15 minutes, they would get a dose that would do very, very grave harm to them, maybe even kill them. So the reactors are a mess right now. Now, over the weekend, I watched a movie on YouTube, and some of you might be curious to do this if you have your pen and paper. There's a movie about what Chernobyl had to go through and how they fixed the Chernobyl problem. It's called The Battle for Chernobyl. Write that down, my friends, and you can go on YouTube and watch it. It's an hour and a half long. Discovery Channel made it, and it goes from the beginning date of the explosion in Chernobyl, and it goes through what they did to fix the problem, and it reveals that thousands and thousands and thousands of people actually died. The official number was 59 people. That is a lie. Thousands of people died in the Chernobyl accident, and they're still dying. There were deformed babies born without arms, without legs, without their noses. Deformed, terrible, terrible deformations that came out of Chernobyl. So in that documentary, though, in the Chernobyl accident, the Soviet Union decided to cover the actual reactor with a whole new building called a sarcophagus that was made out of steel and concrete, and it took 500,000 workers. Many of them probably died doing it, but that's what they did. So if you want to get an idea of what Japan is facing, watch that movie. Now, I know that, again, my friends, people don't want to hear this, but we have to talk about these things. We have to face these things. TEPCO, the company that runs the reactor, has not been forthright. They have lied to us. In fact, there's a report coming out that the president of TEPCO has not been found for several weeks. So he's either in hiding or he's left the country. So there's Japanese bravery and nobility for you right there. He's left the scene, my friends. So that leaves us now having to deal with this mess. So the atomic rain is arriving in America, and now it's arriving in Europe. There are reports that it is arriving in different areas of Europe. I've just seen that in the last day. It's interesting that most people are blissfully unaware. They're unaware because the basic news says don't worry about it. Well, looking back at history, when we saw the Chernobyl accident, and if you watch this movie, The Battle for Chernobyl, you will see that even some of the governments and authorities in Europe, including France, denied there was any poison in the air in Europe. They denied it. But history tells a different story. Many residents of Europe came down with different cancers, with thyroid cancers. They died. So we cannot trust what the ruling authorities are going to tell us, my friends. And by the way, I have come up with a new conclusion. Yes, that's right, folks. I thought that I had an opinion on something and it was never going to be changed. You know what's amazing? There's a lot of us that have different opinions as adults, and for the most part, we hold on to those opinions. Some of them become pet opinions, pet doctrines that we'll fight over at a Thanksgiving dinner. But this particular one, I've changed my mind, folks. I've changed my mind about nuclear power. Or perhaps I've made up my mind about nuclear power. And I, at this point in my life, give nuclear power a big, fat F. Why? Because there's other alternatives, and when you look at the risk factor of what can go wrong, one reactor is putting the whole world in a situation of red alert. That's just one, my friends. Japan has 55. The United States of America has over 100 reactors. And if I have enough time, I want to mention something about that, but, well, let me just mention it now. Folks, I've been wondering about many things lately, but we have talked about the threat of an EMP attack in America, whether it was done by a nuke from Iran or North Korea, or a rogue state, or if it was done domestically. But we've entertained the thought of an EMP, and we've entertained the thought of how would it be. That book, One Second After, even talked about it. I've read the book. It's very chilling. Now, to consider the possible threat of an EMP happening, most of us are faced with, well, there's no way to have water, the sewage convenience is gone, and traffic is gone, communication is gone, transportation is gone, no deliveries of food, supplies, etc. We're back in the 1800s if we have an EMP blast. And for the most part, that's all we've thought about when we think about an EMP blast. But this is what I've even been wondering about now, folks. When the reactor failed in Japan, it failed because the generators were knocked out by the tsunami. And since the earthquake knocked out all the power from that town, that city, then the generators could not turn back on with regular power. So now let's bring it back to here, to the United States. If we were to receive an EMP blast that turned off everything and knocked the grid out, what would happen to the 100, I believe the number is 100, and it's either 101 or 104 reactors, nuclear-powered, are in America right now. There's 104 of them. In fact, I have a map right in front of me, and if one reactor, let's just say it was one, my friends, if one was knocked out of commission after an EMP blast in America, how would they cool it off? It would go into meltdown. It would explode. Like the Chernobyl situation happened. Now magnify that by the entire country. 104 reactors, all of them with no way to cool. Folks, we're talking the destruction of all life in America if something like that happened because of radiation. And another thing that I've been noticing is I have this map, and if you're curious, Google reactors in America, the maps of reactors in America, and it's interesting that in the New Madrid area along the fault line, there are 20 to 30 nuclear reactors. So those of you in the New Madrid area, if the big one did come, I don't think bridges that were fallen into the Mississippi River would be the main thing on our mind. So that's a lot to think about. In the New York fault area, there's a, by the way, yes, that's right, folks, there's a fault line under New York. There's over 10 nuclear reactors, and then, of course, we have several in California. So we've always been told that reactors are trouble-free. Well, there's one variable that we cannot escape, and that is reactors are operated by humans. Humans are knuckleheads and have pea brains. Humans cut corners. Humans can at times be lazy, and humans can lie and not be honest with themselves or those around them. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the reports of TEPCO. The reports have come out. There's been a study that TEPCO has falsified over the last several years documents talking about their regular maintenance. They have falsified the repairs that they've done to some of their reactors. They have falsified pressure tests that they have done. Cracks were covered up that were found in the plant. So right there is just one example. That is one nuclear reactor where those in charge were not honest. Why? Because they're operated by humans. So again, getting back to my grade, nuclear power gets an F from Nathan from now on. So if that hurts anyone's feelings, I'm sorry, my friends, but that's what we're facing. Now, another thing that I was wondering about, could nuclear reactor meltdown actually play a role in some of the plagues that we read about in Revelation? What do you think, my friends? Think it's possible? Those sores that we read about some people have, and of course it says the sun does it to them, but if the sun gives us a big blast, then we're going to have an EMP burst, which could knock out the power. So I don't know, folks, I've just been wondering, could a reactor gone awry, spreading radiation into the sky and into the ocean, be responsible for one-third of the animals dying? Is that going to play a role in it? I don't know, my friends, but now with this on my mind, I've really been thinking, been pondering, I've been considering, and just wondering how this thing's going to play out. Now, today, the reports just came out. The Prime Minister of Japan announced that they are now in maximum alert with the nuclear reactor. Japanese Prime Minister has said his government is in the state of this maximum alert over the crippled nuclear plant. Why are they in maximum alert? Here's why, folks. Plutonium has been detected in the soil at the facility, and highly radioactive water has leaked from the building. They've in fact found radioactive water in five different areas now. In addition to that, TEPCO stock is losing value by the minute, and by the time this event is over, they're probably going to be a penny stock, and Japan's actually talking about taking them over and nationalizing them because they're going to be broke and bankrupt from all of the claims. Now, the United States has the 7th Fleet over there sending barges loaded with water trying to cool it down, but is it a little too late, my friends? Five reactors are trying to keep cool? Well, as of just a few hours ago, I just got this story, and let me go ahead and read it, folks. This is one of the worst case scenarios that it looks like it's just happened. It says, this is from the Guardian UK. It says, Fukushima meltdown fears have risen after radioactive core melted through the vessel. So it looks like number two has actually had a meltdown, my friends. Number two says it's melting. Highly radioactive water has been detected outside the containment area. The radioactive core in the reactor appears to have melted through the bottom of its containment vessel and onto the concrete floor. There you go, folks. Number two has melted. Included in the report, it says, but it's in no danger of a Chernobyl-style catastrophe. So, folks, don't worry. It's not going to be that bad. Now, Richard Leahy, who is head of the safety research for boiling water reactors at General Electric, when the company installed the units at Fukushima, told The Guardian that workers at the site appear to have lost the race to save the reactor. But he said there was no danger of Chernobyl-style catastrophe. Workers have been pumping water into three reactors at the stricken plant in a desperate bid to keep the fuel rods from melting down, but the fuel is at least partially exposed in all the reactors. They're not winning the battle, my friends. So now we have at least part of a molten core, which includes melted fuel rods, zirconium, and it's sunk through the steel through the pressure vessel around reactor 2. So this is just a new development. This has started today. So that's the first one. Now, as that reactor is now going to be leaking, this nasty mix of radiation, is that going to limit the access for the workers to get there? What's it going to do to the neighboring reactors? Are they going to still be able to come to work and do their thing? You know, folks, is there any bodysuit that has lead that is thick enough to protect these workers, God bless them, for trying to put this mess out? How are they going to do this? When Chernobyl was faced with the task of building the new building, the sarcophagus, around the reactor, it took them, I believe it was 6 to 9 months, 500,000 workers to do this. And we're looking at 5 reactors. So how possible is this? The logistical nightmare, the engineering challenge to do this, folks. So it looks like we're well on our way for this thing reaching a new level of heightened awareness, heightened alert. So my friends, please don't go to sleep. Please stay awake. It also looks like right here I have another report. It says contaminated seawater has extended at least a mile into the ocean. It says plutonium has been detected. Plutonium, my friends, how bad's plutonium? During the decay of plutonium, 3 types of radiation are released, alpha, beta, and gamma. The alpha particles can travel a short distance, not through the skin. The beta can penetrate human skin, but they can't go all the way through you, and the gamma can go all the way through. Plutonium has all three. So the damage from plutonium is the most dangerous when it is inhaled. It goes into the body. It causes lung cancer. It causes bone cancer, all kinds of nasty cancers. So plutonium is leaked. So here's the question. Since plutonium is heavy, does that mean that, I don't know if hopefully is the right word because it's at their peril there in Japan, but can I say hopefully the plutonium is only locally there and not in the air? So in order for it to be in the air, it would have to be an explosion that made it in tiny, tiny, tiny minute particles. So hopefully the plutonium is going to stay there. So, well, folks, there's not enough time to share all of this information. There's so much. But again, go to my website, subscribe to my notifications, and when my YouTube comes out, it's going to have all of this information in it, and I'll send it out to you. My friends, thank you. Stay vigilant. Stay prayed up. God bless you, folks. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.